Praise the Lord on this beautiful September the 8th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. And as I came to church this morning, I noticed a lot of people that had a lot of things on their mind besides going to the house of God. I'm kind of like old Joshua of old that said, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve." And he said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I like that wording right there.
Yeah.
And you know, he couldn't be in church. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. But Revelation chapter 1 verse 10, he said, "But I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Even though he couldn't be in church, he didn't forget the day and didn't forget the Lord. And he said, "I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And he got a visitation from above. God visited him there on the Isle of Patmos. And I say he had church right there with the Lord.
Yes.
We just praise God ourselves to be in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, where we're still able to have a Bible. They haven't, you know, they're trying to outlaw the Second Amendment, trying to outlaw guns. And if you got any sense at all, the next thing they'll do, they'll be coming after your Bible. I don't know if anybody stays up or what's going on. I have to. I feel like I need to. More so now than ever because there's so many things changing. But I heard this week on SRN News that the Democratic Party had embraced atheism trying to get more votes. They'll whatever it takes to get elected, they'll endorse anything. But they've actually admitted they're endorsing atheism trying to get elected to take President Trump's place. They hate him.
Yeah.
And they hated Jesus without a cause, and they hate Trump without a cause. And the reason they hated Jesus was because he was right and they was wrong, and he was light and there's darkness. And the reason they hate Trump, man, he's had quite a bit of success in there, even with all the opposition. I've tried to imagine how successful he could have been if he'd had any support at all.
Right.
But he also is doing kind of like what Jesus did. He's doing contrary to what they want. And he's caused Washington to have the biggest headache I guess it's had in a long time. And I hate to put it in these terms, but I'm loving every minute of it.
Amen.
They gave us a headache long enough.
Yes.
It's about time somebody rocked their boat. But they'll be coming for the guns if they can pull it off. And then they'll be coming for the Bible if they can pull that off. And that spirit of Antichrist is already here. You can see the evidence of it. We're just watching the news.
Yeah.
You can see wickedness being promoted. And you know, laws are given to have peace.
Yeah.
Policemen are to enforce the laws. They're called peacemakers. They're justice of the peace. Anyway, when laws are enforced, there will be peace. And when laws are ignored, there will be no peace. But anyway, let's get on with the lesson here. I just say we're living not only in days of prophecy. This Bible is so complete.
Yeah.
That God declared the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10. And He said His counsel would stand. And last time I checked, everything's going as planned. So let's get here with Proverbs chapter 5. We finished up Proverbs chapter 4 last week.
Yeah.
And I kind of was in a hurry as I finished it up. And I just want to reread the last four verses there of Proverbs chapter 4. And Solomon says here, "Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." A lot of people, they'll say things without even evidently thinking about what they're saying or even listening to what they're saying. And I think, boy, we ought to be careful with our words. The same words that hurt can help. The same words that cause people to get mad or angry can be construed to help people to have a forgiving spirit instead of an angry spirit. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Words need to be spoken right and in the right spirit. And verse 35, "Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, wandering eyes is what got David in trouble
right.
when he looked upon Bathsheba. And, you know, our eyes, I kind of like what verse 21 says there in Proverbs chapter 4. It's talked about, let not the Word of God depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep your eye on the Word of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Just keep your eyes on the right thing and look straight. Don't be looking for a way to commit mischief. You know, Moses, before he killed that Egyptian, the Bible said he looked to the right and to the left and he killed him. And that don't make it right. He just realized he could, at the moment he realized he could do it and not get caught. He did get caught because one of his own brethren said, "Will you kill me?" She did that Egyptian yesterday, and he realized the thing wasn't hid and our sins aren't hid. But anyway, I just want to recap these verses here. Ponder the path of thy feet. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We need to walk those steps. And to do that, you got to ponder the path of thy feet. You got to remember where you go, why you go. And, you know, it makes a difference. I don't want to be in the barroom no more. I did a long time. That was my manner was to go to the bar and get drunk and find my way home and do it again.
Yeah.
But ponder the path of thy feet. And I remember hearing his father one time, his son got a reverse mohawk or something like that. And he said, "What happened, son?" He said, "I don't know, Daddy." He said, "Well, was you there when it happened?" "I don't know, Daddy." But, you know, we just need to be aware of where we're going and why we're doing what we're doing. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. The same effort that the people I saw this morning heading to the lake with the boats behind them could have made the same effort and been in the house of God today and got something out of this day worth getting. I'm going to say right now, being a fisherman myself, this is the deadest time in the year to go fishing. But anyway, he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Sometimes our feet have a whole lot to do with where we're at and why we get in trouble and need to make better decisions. I just wanted to recap those verses right there. Now we'll start Proverbs chapter 5. Again, God starts this out. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear unto my understanding. You know, you can get counsel a lot of places. All right. Matter of fact, right now, they think college degree is the upper hand. They say the deplorables elected President Trump, the ignorant elected him, and you know they call us, you know, Kentucky hillbillies and all of that.
Yeah.
But I tell you right now, I'm kind of glad that I am a little bit simple minded. But all of that gain of that wisdom that they've gained, it ain't going to profit them anything.
No.
The Bible said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? So they've got all these degrees. I guess you could call them Dr. Fahrenheit. I don't know. But you know what? I had enough sense one day to know I was lost. Thanks to God, He helped me to get lost. The Bible said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And God was so good to me. He let me know I was lost.
Yeah.
He let me know if I didn't get saved that I was going to spend eternity in hell.
That's
the kind of wisdom that comes from above, that God deals with every man in that accord. He's not willing that any perish,
right. But
that all come to repentance. And some people, they just don't want that kind of wisdom. They block it out. I've seen people put their finger in their ears and do like this right here, as I've been street preaching before, up on the public square. I street preached up there for like 10 years. And I saw people try to keep that kind of wisdom from entering into their mind.
Yeah.
They Bible said when they knew God, they didn't acknowledge Him. And in Romans chapter 1, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want any wisdom that has anything to do with God. And the Bible said the wisdom of this world, it's foolish with God. And you know, they want that kind of wisdom above the wisdom of God. Let me show you something real quick here. I just got thinking about this.
Look like a terrorist. That's old Brother Eddie. Street pitching up on the square, up on the public square. And the guy in the Daily Times, he come up there for some reason or other and took a picture of me up there preaching and put that on the front page of the Daily Times. And they was voting on alcohol at that time. And I remember the message that day had a lot to do with public drunkenness and alcohol.
Yeah.
And we'll have more sense in that. But anyway, I was up there on the public square preaching up there for like somewhere more or less 10 years preaching, doing the best I could to try to reach people with the gospel here. Let me see how I can do this here. But God offers men wisdom.
Yes.
Some men will take it and some men will turn it down. But God offers to all wisdom. And that's kind of what this verse number one says. God just saying, let me help you. And you know, God wants to help people.
Yeah.
Some people, I've been made to realize you can't help some people. I mean, just no matter what, they just keep falling right back. I used to be one of them. I can understand a little bit of it because that used to be me. But some people, God here, He offers help to all. He offers grace to all. He offers love to all.
Right.
And mercy to all. And He says, attend unto my wisdom. Where would you think today that you could attend unto God's wisdom? Simple question.
Right here in church.
Amen, Brother Ed. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say right there.
Yeah.
See, God says you could go to my house today. You could hear my wisdom today.
Right.
Today you could let your ear hear something worth hearing. And you know, this is a little church, and I'm kind of proud that it is. I'm a little preacher. I'm kind of glad that it is. And I hope one day that not only it grows, but I hope I grow with it.
Yeah.
I'd like to be all I can be for God. I just got to occupy this little office until God helps it to be otherwise. But I'm just a little preacher. And I don't think there is any such thing as a little work. There's some bigger than others. But I think every work of God is a big work.
Amen.
No matter whether it's 2 or 30 or 2 or 3,000. But I'm glad to be part of the work. And I'm glad I'm in the house of God today. For the wisdom of God today, my ear open and tuned in today to the things of God. Look at verse 2. God says, not only attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear unto my understanding, He said that thou mayest regard discretion. I didn't always have discretion. I done that which is right in my own eyes. A lot of people do that today. And they don't know no better. God knows they don't know no better. That's why He wants us to go out and compel them to come in, that they might learn better. But I didn't have any discretion. I went the way of all the world. I went where they went, done what they did, talked like they talked, act like they act. But God says, if you'll come to the house of God, if you'll come hear the wisdom of God, He said, you'll have some discretion. And He says, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. You know, I know better now than I did when I first started going to church. Now, I got saved not too long after I set foot in the house of God. I didn't fit in. And God let me know that I was there, but I didn't belong there. And it's good that I was there, because until I went there, I didn't understand I was a lost man. But when I got in the house of God, heard the Word of God, the Spirit of God dealt with me, I realized not only I was lost, I realized God loved me, I realized God wanted to save me, but I didn't know how, but I ended up finding out how. But anyway, you know, it was good for me that I went. That's what God's saying really here.
Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
I got something I need to say.
Well, help yourself. That's what I want in Sunday school.
Well, it's not even about the lessons.
Okay.
It's about, you're talking about the small church.
Yeah.
And we made a decision to help King of Kings Radio. Remember last week?
Yeah.
Last Monday was a holiday. There wasn't no mail run.
Yeah.
So Tuesday morning, I put that check in the mail. Tuesday morning, before I put that check in the mail, I turned my radio on.
Yeah.
And you know what? Landmark helped put them over what they needed to build. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Just one little bitty donation.
Bible
times. God just took that. God takes the smallest thing and makes big things.
That's good, Brother Ed. The Bible says little is much when God's in it.
Yeah.
And God's always worked through little things. If you just look at all the things Jesus did, he always used something little to do something big.
I said, when I turned that radio on, I heard that, praise the Lord. You know,
he used a little lad to feed 5,000. And, you know, this all through there, it's all little. But praise God, this little church had a big impact. That's a blessing. I appreciate you sharing that. I didn't actually get to hear that,
but I
did hear that they reached the money. I'm glad.
I heard it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
and you know what? I'm so glad we both had the same mind with that regard, and I'm glad everybody agreed, Leah, let's do it.
Yes.
And you're right, brother. A little church can do a lot where a little church uses a little that it's got.
That's right.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I hope it got on recorder. Amen. But, you know, we think we can't do nothing. And just like Brother Ed just said, we can do a whole lot more than we realize if we'll just use what we got.
That's right.
And anyway, God says, he said, if you will attend to his words, if you will attend to his wisdom, he said, not only will you end up with discretion, not only will your lips keep knowledge, but he said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. See, we ain't in heaven yet.
No.
Not only are we down here, which is a far cry. A lot of people think it's the only heaven there is, but I'm glad God made a better place, and far better, Paul said. But anyway, not only are we not in heaven yet, but there's a devil down here. And I used to be a professional fisherman. We fished competitively, me and my father. And we had learned which lure to use and how to use it to be successful to catch big trophy bass.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you fish top water, there's time you fish deep, there's time you fish the crankbait when the fish is suspended or whatever. But anyway, the devil's kind of like that. And he knows what to use. He knows how to use it to ensnare people and to get them, you know, I guess, you know, to commit things that they wouldn't do if it wasn't a devil down here and there wasn't temptation down here. The Bible talks about flee fornication. Let me read a couple of verses here real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul addressing the church at Corinth, and they had major problems. But Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18, he says, flee fornication. He says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In other words, there are consequences to sin.
Right.
And he said, you know, like this verse here talking about a strange woman. I want you to get that real good. The lips of a strange woman. I've heard it said the grass always looks better on the other side of the fence. Somebody don't tell you there's a septic tank underneath it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, talks about how we're all tempted. It says, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And you know, this strange woman, you know, she, I don't know what it is about it, but she always gets the attention of someone that will allow that attention.
Yes.
And it seemed like, you know, she speaks the right words. We'll get to that, I think, later on in Proverbs here. It talks about, I think I didn't read too much further here, but in chapter 7 talks about this woman here that actually pursued a young man, and you know, she was able to prevail. But you know, this lips of this strange woman that they'll put paint on her lips. My pastor, he always said, even my barn looks better with paint on it. But anyway, they always put, you know, nowadays, I don't know what it is nowadays, I mean colors, everything. I've seen women with fluorescent green lips.
Oh.
And you know, I've seen them, and they seem like they don't have color on the hair anymore. I don't have no hair, so I don't have to worry about that. But it's always some color other than a normal color. It's pink. It's red. That's one that seemed like it worked. Everybody's dyeing their hair red, flaming red at that.
Yeah.
It's green. I've seen even black people have dyed their hair now snow white.
Yeah.
They've got it streaked in and everything. But a strange woman, she will put forth effort to be noticed. And God here talking about discretion in verse number 2. If you don't have discretion, the lips of a strange woman, God says they drop as honeycomb. In other words, it causes you to be attracted to a strange woman.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be brief, but I'm also going to be a little bit blunt here. God says, I can warn you, but I can't keep you from doing what you know better than to do.
Right.
Now, I've been warned. I'm so glad I read the Bible, though. I remember the first year I got saved, April 27th, 1988. I started immediately reading my Bible. And I was determined to finish my Bible before the end of that year, and I was able to do so. But I want you to know I spent more time that year on my knees saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was so guilty, I had no idea what God's will was for my life. I had no idea, you know, some of the things I had done, I didn't even realize that I had done these things, and God's book's kind of like a mirror. I saw myself in the mirror of God, and I saw just how miserable and how wicked and ungodly I had been for 34 years. It just tore my heart out as I read those precious scriptures. I read about the great love of God. I read about how He had to suffer because of my life, my wicked, sinful life. It just tore my heart up. I remember saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'll tell you right now, that was the best thing I ever did was read my Bible through.
Yeah.
I got a little discretion now. Let me put it like that. I understand a little bit now, a little bit more about what's going on down there.
Yeah.
You see, let's take for instance, Brother Ed's father, man, he'll realize there's a hole right there. Yeah, and I walk around, and Brother Ed walking behind me, and he's talking, he ain't looking, he falls in that hole. I'm sitting there thinking, that's his fault, he would've seen that hole. And he's sitting there thinking, why didn't you tell me about that hole there?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way discretion is.
That's right.
It gives you a little bit of forewarning about some things not to pursue, some things not to put your eyes on, some things not to dwell around, to get up and leave. A lot of times, a good example of this, my cousin, he won't mind me telling this, I'm sure. He and I, we both deer hunted together. And don't get me wrong, I love the Lord. So if you're going to ride with me, you're going to either hear gospel singing or gospel preaching. Boy, he was really having a rough go with it. He got saved as a young man, but he was a far cry from the life of someone that's saved. And he wasn't enjoying this a bit. And I crank it up a little bit every time I get a chance. And he's slipping over and turned it down every time he gets a chance. And it got a little confrontational. He said, I don't really want to hear that. I said, if you're going to ride with me, you're going to hear it. I didn't leave it up for discussion. You know, I said, if you're going to ride with me, we're going to hear it. We rode with him. I had to listen to that junk he listened to.
That's right.
That head-banging stuff. Anyway, he ended up coming to church. You know, it kind of dealt with him like in order to as a son of God.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to go to church. What time does the service start? And I told him, and he came. And the Word of God prevailed, and he come up and he rededicated his life. Boy, it's good on that fashion. I watched him, boy. I mean, he's kind of like what I read last week about being clothed in his right mind. I saw that transformation. You know, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be you rather transformed by the renewing of your mind. I saw that in him. He set the standard as high. He set it higher than I even thought he would ever set it. Well, anyway, him and his wife, I said, oh, let's say this. They went to watch a movie at the cinema. And there was some language used in that movie, and he told his wife, he said, come on, we'll leave it.
Yeah.
He got up and walked out. Now, that's discretion. That's why I mention all that. He realized he didn't need to be there in the company of that language. And you know, he used discretion. He told his wife, Susan, his name's Wade Ford. I have another cousin. They were all Fords, and I'm Wade's. And his mother, kind of in a jest, named her son Wade Ford. Got both last names in there. But anyway, his wife, Susan, they got up and walked out of that movie theater. They used discretion. They decided, you know, that wasn't fit to watch, and they didn't need to be there. That's discretion.
Yeah.
And God wants us to have that kind of discretion. This Sunday school lesson actually better than I realize it was going to be. I praise the Lord for it.
Yeah.
But that discretion, we need to have it. It makes a difference. As a matter of fact, that discretion was what caused those disciples to be called Christians first in Antioch, because they were Christ-like.
Right.
And people noticed it. They called them Christians. But here, God talking about wisdom and discretion, He said, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Some people say, I just don't see no problem with it. Well, if he had discretion, he would. And he goes on and says, her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, if you know anything about oil, it's pretty slick.
Right.
Especially slick 50. That's about as slick as it gets.
Yeah.
You can't even pick up a screwdriver if you get that slick 50 on there. But you know what? You won't notice that slipperiness. You won't notice that strange woman if you don't have the wisdom of God and the discretion of God. And the next thing you know, God warns here in verse 4, but her end. You see, everything seems like it's good in the beginning, but there's always an ending to everything.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people, they did run well, but they didn't run far. And you know, they got off to a good start, but they didn't stay with it, and they wasn't able to finish. And God here, He says, but her end. You know, the end. Let's use this verse right here. Just throw this verse in real quick. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end. That end, that's what's important.
Yeah.
How's it going to end? It says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A lot of people nowadays just bring this message up to date. They're talking about a lot of young people now doing this thing called vaping. They instead of smoking cigarettes, they use this some kind of electric cigarette, and you're able to put all kind of flavors in there and all kind of stuff in there. But it's ended up, I think, about 4 or 5 people have died from it. And they're concerned about, that number just keeps rising. They're concerned about it, trying to find out why that these people are ended up dead because of smoking this vapor electric cigarette. And they're talking about, you know, it's making the lungs hard, making them like leather.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you all, but I know one thing. I gotta breathe. I got 2 lungs. God said they're good. You take care of them, they'll do you good all the days of your life. I ain't smoking nothing. But you know, they're taking, I see them driving down the road, big old puff of smoke comes out of the car. And you know what? How's that going to end? It's terrible when you go out to the hospital and they say, I should have known better. But you go out there to the hospital and they say, I wish I'd never seen one of them.
Yeah.
The end of that thing, God says, is important. And He's talking here about this strange woman. And you know what? Moses, the Bible said, I believe it's Hebrews 11, verse 25, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, I'm just making a mess of that verse. I'm going to turn to it. But it says here, Moses here by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. But you know, Moses made a decision there how this thing was going to end up. And he decided, hey, this ain't going to end well. I'm going with Christ. Well, her end is bitter. It's bitter as wormwood. I've never had any wormwood. But my understanding is you don't want none of it. It's bitter. And not only is it bitter, it said it's sharp as a two-edged sword. That reminds me of the Word of God. And when I think about sharp as a two-edged sword, I'm thinking about Peter when he remembered the Word of the Lord.
Yeah.
He went out and what did he do? He wept bitterly. That bitter from the wormwood is kind of like you knew better. You know, that's one thing that that Daniel rebuked Belshazzar. He said, you knew this. In other words, Belshazzar knew better than to go get the golden vessels out of the house of the Lord and drink wine in them and make fun of God. And you know, kind of like, you know, hey, I'm bigger than God. You know, the Beatles, they said they was, what was it, more popular than Jesus. Next thing you know, they're dying.
Yeah.
That's a poor choice of words. He should have said more popular than Elvis. See what I mean? But when they put it in that perspective, when John Lennon said we're more popular than Jesus,
yeah,
one of his fans shot him dead. Yeah. See what I mean? Yeah. You got to have some discretion. You know, I used the text last Sunday, Isaiah 45, verse 9. God said, woe to him that strives with his maker. Let the clay strive with the clay, the potsherd with the potsherds. But woe to him that striveth with his maker. John Lennon used a poor choice of words when he said we're more popular than Jesus. He became dead. You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that was he failed to use discretion. Discretion will keep you out of a lot of trouble if you'll let it. But here God says the end of this strange woman. You know, somebody said this a one night flame. Says her end is bitter as wormwood. I remember my pastor telling me about a businessman that was on a business trip and he thought it'd be all right. He picked him up a prostitute and had a one-night fling. And the next morning he got up to go to the restroom and wrote on the mirror in the restroom with red lipstick. It said, welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS.
Mm.
See what I mean? The end. No discretion. Some things we know better. Some things we shouldn't. The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Some things we just know better. Without discretion, we'll fall into these snares, these traps. We'll be preaching along those lines even today. But without that discretion, this strange woman, she'll cause that bitter wormwood end to your life. I don't know what that man thought when he saw that red lipstick on that mirror, but I bet you he wished he'd have thought about it a little more before he committed adultery on his wife. See what I mean? You just don't really think about how this thing's going to end up. I see a you know, people driving real fast. Matter of fact, Chavez, a guy I worked with, somebody said he was going too fast. I don't know if he was or if he wasn't. But if he was going too fast, they said that that black guy, Kevin, I think Kevin Hart or something like that, he was in an older model car, a Plymouth Barracuda or something like that, said they was driving too fast. Lost the car in a curve, and he ended up breaking his back, having to have surgery on it, and I think the driver also was hurt also. And you know, I'm sure they thought, boy, I wish I'd thought and not drove so fast. See what I'm talking about? The end of that. How things end up makes a difference sometimes good or bad. And God said the end of a strange woman's bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. It hurts if you don't have discretion. Verse 5, her feet go down. Go down to death. A lot of people, they just get one chance. The Bible talks about, and I haven't looked these scriptures up, they're just coming to my mind. But it talks about jealousies as cruel as a grave. So some guy thinks he can sleep with another man's wife, and the wife, the other man's wife, her husband finds out about it, and he ain't going to be satisfied until he's killed this guy. And no terms of money, nothing he can do is going to quench the fire that's in the heart, this jealous heart of this husband that he's committed adultery with. You see what I mean? A lot of factors you can factor in here. And it says, by this strange woman, it says, her feet go down to death. A lot of people have died because they didn't have discretion. They didn't have the wisdom of God. They didn't consider the warning God gives. And this chapter covers that warning pretty good. And they thought that they could do something and get away with it.
Yeah.
You know the devil, he's really good at making people think along those lines. Who will know? Matter of fact, he told Eve there in Genesis chapter 3. He said, God knows that the day you eat, you're going to be like him.
Right.
And you know, he just put that in the wrong context. And it didn't change the word of God. But her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. A lot of people are in hell today. Because they didn't have the wisdom of God. They didn't want discretion. They just wanted to have pleasures of sin for a season. And they followed this path that goes to death. They ended up going all the way down to hell. What's a sad commentary. I've preached some of them funerals. I don't like to do them. I like preaching funerals kind of like Enoch left behind a testimony.
Yeah.
That he pleased God. I like them funerals a whole lot better. I remember a wife of a husband come to me. She said, tell me that my husband's in heaven. I said, I can't tell you that. I can't. I don't have not only the knowledge to know that, but I don't even have a say in it. The Bible said the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. If he belongs to the Lord, he's there. He might receive a rough judgment, but he's there by the grace of God. And, you know, he you know, Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, don't care. You're going to reap what you sowed. Well, his truck had broke down in a big city, and a wrecker came to tow his truck. And he asked the wrecker driver if it's okay if he go back there and get that bag of pot out of his truck. And he said, yeah, it'd be all right. Well, he went back there to get that bag of pot out of his truck. They're in the emergency lane. He's on the opposite side of the emergency lane, the safest place he can be, walking towards his truck, and a drunk comes down through there and hits him. He goes flying up in the air, way up in the air. He comes down on the hood of his own truck, and I had to do his funeral. See what I mean? I can't give hope when I don't have any hope to give. And as sad a commentary as that is, he's just one of a million, just like that, that had no discretion, that used no wisdom, that didn't consider how it could end up. It was a tough funeral. I don't like to do them kind of funerals. I have no choice.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now. God here put pretty blunt here. Her feet go down. You follow this strange woman, you're going down. My dad left my mother for another woman. I watched him, Carolyn, watched him go down. He's my father. I love him. If he's here, I tell the same thing. He won't be telling. He said, please tell them what a fool I was. He lived the rest of his life regretting that mistake.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he's a perfect candidate to explain these scriptures and just how true they are. he just kept going down and down and down until he finally died, regretting that he made that decision. I saw so many people. My pastor was telling a story one time. Somebody doesn't remember everything he says. I'm able to retain it somehow. But he told a story one time about a very wealthy man in horse business. Just so wealthy, really, it's kind of difficult to be around him because he's just full of himself. But anyway, he left his wife for a younger woman. They'd been married several years. And anyway, he kept coming to church, and he kept pushing the pastor for his comments about his actions, and Jerry, he didn't want to answer. And he just kept putting off. Let's see if I can remember the terminology on this. And he just kept on insisting the pastor comment on the decision he made. I hope I can tell this like my pastor told it. He said, "I just want to know what you think about it." And the pastor, he had it up to here. And he had a little salt about him. I thank God for a man of God that's got salt about him.
That's right.
He said, "You want to know how I feel about it?" And this man is wealthy. He said, "I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about it." He said, "You trade a thoroughbred filly for a jackass." He put it right down there in simple terms where the man could understand what he was trying to say. He said, "You made a mistake. You had a wife that loved you, that stayed with you, that was faithful to you, and you just went and made a bad trade, buddy."
Yeah.
He finally got an earful of what he really needed to hear. A lot of preachers won't do that. I try not to. I try to be, my pastor always said, "Brother Eddie, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind." I try to always have my speech seasoned with grace.
Yeah.
I want everybody to have success. I want everybody to get saved. I want everybody, to live before God in the beauty of holiness. We ought to. I mean, that ought to be a reasonable service.
Right.
And I try to put words where they need to be and frame them right and make sure they're not darts with hurt and poison in them. But anyway, God here, he ain't mentioning words here. He says, "Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." There's a lot of people in hell right now that wish they had the wisdom of God, that wish they had some discernment
right
about the matter God's talking about right here in Proverbs chapter 5.
Right.
Verse 6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life." Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Talk about that slippery up there in oil. Verse 3, here he's talking about these movable. You can't know them. Just your life gets out of kilter. One day you realize where you're at. You can't figure out how you got there. And you just didn't see it coming. And you know, God here, he talks about, ponder the path of life. Stay on track. Don't get sidetracked.
Right.
Stay on the straight path. Don't get on the crooked slope or the crooked path. He says, verse 7, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." All God can do is warn you.
That's it.
All God can do is offer help. You got to accept it. You got to let God help you.
That's right.
Some people, "I don't want the help of God." Look, that's easy to say, but it's not easy to live up to. There'll come a time that you'll say, "Boy, I regret not letting God help me." I remember hearing a story. Man, I'm full of stories this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing a story about a pastor and a deacon that was called to go to the hospital to the bedside of a woman that was dying. And they went, and they said, "We come to have a word of prayer with you." She said, "You're wasting your time."
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, we still want to have prayer with you." She said, "I'm telling you, you're wasting your time." She told that pastor and that deacon, she said, "When I was 16 years old," she said, "I told God, 'You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone.'" And she said, "He did."
Uh-huh.
And she said, I haven't felt the presence of God since I made that mistake. Boy, I tell you, that's a terrible mistake. You leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. That's an eternal mistake.
Yes.
They prayed for her, but by all observations, she died lost. You know, God ain't mocked.
Mm-mm.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I fear God and reverence God and respect God, but that's disrespect to the one that's got your next breath in his hand.
Amen.
And you know what she said she shouldn't have said? I don't know. I just heard about it aftermath. I would have liked to have talked to her myself and told her about the love of God. But, you know, I wasn't there. I just heard about the aftermath of it. And they said they couldn't help her. I know God can.
Yes.
I know He doesn't give up. I know He says, let's reason together. Let's talk about it. We'll fix it. But He said, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. God offers all help. He offers all forgiveness. He offers all salvation. Everybody ain't going to, but He offers it.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 here. He said, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. God says, you ain't got no business there. And if you know, somebody said, like a moth drawn to the flame, you know, men are drawn to women like this woman right here. And the latter end is not good. But God says, abstain from these kind of women. If you look at verse 9, He tells you why. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. You know, it takes years to build a testimony and about a second to lose it. My pastor called me into his office, shut the door, and he's pretty mad. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, Brother Rick. He said, somebody seen you with another woman. I said, well, Brother Rick, that's news to me. I don't know nothing. He said, they seen you. I said, well, okay, but I don't know what you're talking about. He just kept on and on, and he was mad. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out, what the heck is he talking about? And he finally come out and said, they seen you with her at Goodwill. I said, Brother Rick, that's my daughter. And, you know, that kind of accusation, that's okay. But what if it hadn't have been my daughter?
Yeah.
What if it had been with, and I praise God, my wife put up me 44 years. I don't know how there could have been another woman out there that could do that. But, you know, most men, they don't think about things like that. They look and say, I can have that. Tell me why I can't have it. God says it'll cost you.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, you'll give your honor to another. Whew, put it in park.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are short enough. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot, but I'll tell you one thing. I like to be known for as a man of honor. Tried, done my best.
That's right.
Might have failed, but at least I tried. God said, if you don't listen, you're going to give your honor to another. This is pretty tough, but much needed.
Yeah.
I wish we had about 1,000 people here this morning. Mm-hmm. I'd probably spend more time even on this verse. But God says, you'll give your honor to others, and you'll give your years to the cruel. You know, the Bible talks about, I didn't look the scripture up, but it talks about delivering one over to the tormentors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's Proverbs 13, the way of transgressors is hard. Some people say, you just don't understand how hard I got it. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I understand why you got it that hard.
Yeah.
Because you won't let God be God. You won't let Him give you His wisdom. You won't let Him give you this discernment. And me and my pastor, we went to a nursing home one time to visit a guy. We both worked with him. His name was Billy Poland. Billy Poland, and this has probably been in the neighborhood of 25, maybe 30 years ago. We went to the nursing home to see this guy, and he's sitting there looking out the window. Billy Poland, big, robust, strapping man in his, I'd say, you know, in his best state. You know, he really had a good, he's a pressman out there at work, had $20 plus an hour job, had a good young wife. I went to school with his wife. And there's Dale Hollow Lake drinking, partying, not really thinking along the lines of wisdom or sermon or nothing like that. And we called him B.C. Poland. His wife's name was Mary Poland. But anyway, over there, they'd been drunk. They went out. He had this big monster houseboat, had this big monster bass boat, big old motor on the back. They went out there to fish, and they couldn't get the boat to start. And they'd been gone a long time. And the people on the houseboat, bunch of drunks, you can imagine how they're functioning. They're worried about Billy, so they decided they're going to go look for him. And Jerry, they found him. As a matter of fact, they run plumb over him. Mm. And as the boat propeller went up him, it took an eye out, and it marred his face to where it wasn't pleasant to look at. It hurt to look at him, especially if you knew him before the accident. And he's looking out that window, and tears are dripping off his cheeks. He can't talk. But I guarantee in his mind, he's saying, I wished I had discernment. I wished I had wisdom. I wished I hadn't followed that kind of path. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
This verse here talks about giving your honor to others and your years to the cruel. He spent his life in a nursing home, sitting in a chair, looking out a window, thinking, I wished I had that day to do over.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Billy Polans out there. Some of them live, some of them don't. Me and Brother Ed go up there to the Caverna nursing home. We went to the Caverna hospital. See a young boy named Gary Fraser. I don't know all the details about Gary. I know this. He's sitting there suffering. They don't give him much hope. They're just got him on morphine, trying to help him to be comfortable. But I don't know what put him in that position. But, you know, this kind of things like here, God's talking about the years to the cruel. It's not a good place to be. I'd rather not be in that kind of predicament. I don't know how many years I got, but I would like to fill my years. I'd like to be found in the house of God on the Lord's day. I'd like to be found with a song in my heart, even praise to the Lord. I'd like to be found telling somebody, I tried to tell somebody yesterday about Jesus. Anyone want to hear it? I put about 4 more stickers on the back of the old truck. And I was telling them, I said, that allows me to preach coming and going. And he had his kayak, on his truck there, his young boy. I asked him if he's saved, he wouldn't even answer. Mm. And I said, God loves you, buddy, just like you are. I just noticed he looking at all them. I put a whole bunch of stickers. I've got them on there, man. You think it's a billboard back there. But I was pumping gas, so he wasn't. I noticed that he was looking as he was pumping gas. I caught him looking, Jerry, and I said, I'm a preacher, buddy. I said, with those stickers, that allows me to preach coming and going. Holding forth the Word of God. That magnet holds it on there pretty good. Anyway, we'll stop right there. And this is tremendous. I had no idea the Sunday school lesson was going to be this good. But we'll stop right there, verse number 9. And this is a good Sunday school lesson. I would probably, we're not going to have Sunday school next Sunday due to the homecoming. But I would encourage you to make an effort to be in Sunday school. Those that were here this morning and heard what little bit of what this Sunday school lesson was, you'd have to say, boy, I needed that. I tell you right now, this preacher needed that. Amen. I need to be reminded, buddy, there's a devil down here. I need to be reminded of just how vulnerable I am and how quickly things can change. And we'll stop right there.